It's time for the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by A Number One Air.
How are you doing, Giorgio?
Great, I guess.
Giorgio and I had a long, lingering lunch at an intimate Greek taverna.
Yeah, and then we discovered it was right across the street from where Junior was getting the rental car. We could have just walked over there and met you. I didn't realize until we left the restaurant.
You know, when you guys told me that's where you were, I said, oh, they must have taken the Hertz bus there.
And no, we took a $20 cab ride to get there from the airport. Yeah, because we were staggered. Our flights were staggered. You came in an hour and a half, 2 hours after us. So Giorgio and I had to pass the time. And George says, what do you think about Greek food? We're at the baggage claim, right? What do you think about Greek food? Oh, I love it. I know this great little Greek place near here.
I didn't say that. I just looked it up.
Why are you acting like such a knowledgeable local here all of a sudden?
I didn't. I just looked it up. It says there's a Greek place. Is that
That's
good
not the way you presented it.
I didn't say I know
you
a Greek.
You presented it as your own intimate knowledge from your Bourdain-like travels.
I did not. And at least somebody looked something up. Gordon was just walking around going, I'm hungry. It's okay.
That is a mischaracterization.
No, it's not.
All of a sudden I break down and don't know how to acquire food.
Not any more than, I know a great little Greek place near here. I did not say that.
You said, yes, you did. I know a great little Greek place around here.
As I'm looking at my phone and said, places near airport.
Anyway, so we go to this Greek place.
I thought it was odd, by the way, when you sent me the link of where you were, and I looked it up, and it was right across from the Hertz place, and I said, well, that's why they're there, because I was expecting when I clicked on the address to see it like somewhere in North Hollywood, or I thought you guys had gone further afield or farther afield.
No, he was so confident presenting it to me that I was like, this place must be something special.
Made up story.
I didn't know that he had searched for food near a rental car place, and that is what came up. That's
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's the way it happened.
Okay, here's
yesterday.
The defensive George coming out here. This is what you do. you throw out Greek food recommendations, and then all of a sudden you back off. And
I
you
saw
just,
all these other
giggle.
Places,
you
and
giggle.
I said maybe Greek food would be good for Gordo. Maybe he'd agree to that.
And you
sure
know what?
Enough, he did.
You're right.
Was it good?
It was.
Yeah, it was really good.
I really thought the place was good.
Did you like
I felt it?
It
was a little insensitive seeing what Athens is going through. And
did you like
it? Just living it up, eating Greek food like nobody's dying in wildfires.
Well, it's time for lunch.
See?
Man.
Do you see what a callous individual I work with? At least I donated to their little bucket up front that said, you know, to the victims of whatever they call their 9/11. I don't know what they call it. Their natural non-terrorist 9/11.
Huh.
What caused those wildfires?
It's
not terrorism, is it? It's not terrorism.
I don't think so.
It's just wildfires.
Yeah.
Who's having wildfires?
Over in Greece.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed this.
Yeah, it's like...
I guess it's a Greece fire.
That wins. I think that wins.
No, I think with people dying, though, you just...
Oh, yeah, people are dying?
Yes.
See, I don't know the story.
Yeah, it's a pretty serious story, George.
I've been in Utah. They don't have the internet there.
I'm just trying to say what kind of fire it was.
If people knew when I said there's a fire sweeping through Athens...
I don't know. It's all Greek to me.
Man.
Hey, go ahead. Come on. Make a play. I just smoked two by you. Come on. Let's do something
I'm
here.
I'm not going to participate in that.
Was smoked a third?
Because I respect our...
Right. Yeah, you're such a respectful broadcaster.
Our Greek friends. Anyway, I want to talk about your buddies. The stars from Dukes of Hazzard.
Are they my buddies? I knew this was a misleading tease. Take the target off my chest.
No, you're big fans of country music and Dukes of Hazzard, and
you are a huge Dukes of Hazzard fan too, and so is Junior.
Tom Wopat, who played Luke Duke, he was sentenced this past Friday.
Oh no!
To a year of probation after pleading guilty to two counts of annoying and accosting a person of the opposite sex. Inappropriately touching two women in the cast of a musical in Massachusetts in which he starred. He was charged last August touching these two female cast members while rehearsing for 42nd Street. It's the name of the musical. And They also found cocaine on him during his arrest.
Off.
He was also accused of poking a 16-year-old girl in her stomach with his finger on the set of the play. And
that's odd.
Also putting his finger between the cheeks of the woman's posterior.
The 16-year-old?
You know, that's what it reads that way. Wow. And he, according to the court documents, he told her, quote,
"I'm a creepy old man. You're really talented and really cute. Here's finger and posterior."
Wow.
"Tell Uncle Jesse hi."
And then poked her.
Tom Wopat, net worth?
$3 million?
Nah.
Residuals. I wonder if that show holds up, though. I mean, they're riding in a car that has the stars and bars or the Confederate flag. What is it, the stars and bars? There's some controversy over that. Stars and bars refers
to
the official
flag,
one.
I guess, officially, yeah.
What we refer to as the Confederate flag is the battle flag.
According to CelebrityNetWorth.com, Tom Wopat worth $2
million. Okay.
So he's made some.
That was before he started doing 42nd Street in Massachusetts.
Well, why are you making fun of that?
I'm saying that maybe that added to his net worth. Maybe he's worth $1.00001 million.
Gosh, you're a jerk. Why are you kicking a guy when he's convicted?
He only got probation. He's not going behind bars.
Another actor on the set had to warn Tom Wopat and said, told him, "Don't flirt with this girl. She's only 16.
God.
But he says now that he's going to take time to address his ongoing struggle with substance abuse.
He's 66?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
I think John Schneider's co-star is much younger. I think John Schneider's like 58. He played Bo Duke, and he was in studio with the Musers at one time.
I was
going to
say, we had them both on or just Schneider?
I only remember Schneider being in studio. I don't know if we ever had Wopat on the phone.
Would you guys like to guess John Schneider's net worth?
Well, he's had a more successful singing career. They both had singing careers. But I'm going to say John Schneider's... No, I'm going to say less, because John Schneider just served time in jail for being unable to pay $150,000 in spousal support.
Correct.
So he's got to be worth zero.
According to CelebrityNetWorth.com, the website future billionaires read every day, John Schneider worth
$200,000. Now, he had to perform, John Schneider had to perform 240 hours of community service because he could not, there he is right there.
You like that look on his face?
Look at that.
He didn't care about nothing.
It's kind of a Joe Buck look on his face.
A little bit.
John Schneider got divorced from his wife of 21 years, I think it was, and he can't afford the spousal support. And he had an interesting quote. He said, "I've worked 7 days a week, 80 hours a week, at least since 1978, I have, as every working person has, a mountain of debt that was attached to my dream. There's a group now that somehow feels they're entitled to life or even luxury without work, and the judicial system apparently agrees with that."
He's not wrong.
It is strange.
Not wrong.
Now, the person who does all the work just has to fund the person who doesn't do the work because, well... But you let them not work, so they got used to not working.
Let's start a GoFundMe for John Schneider.
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that. There's better GoFundMe. So your two buddies from Dukes of Hazzard not doing so well, Georgia.
Sounds like to me they're in trouble.
Okay.
Thank you, Gordo. That's the ODEC. It's 6:42 on the ticket. Let's muse in the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All Pro Foundation Repair.
They weren't targeted in the shooting, but they were hit as a gunman opened fire on several vehicles near Walton Walker Boulevard and West Northwest Highway. These two people that were shot were passengers in an Uber vehicle, and they say that they were not the targets of the shooting, but just some unfortunate bystanders to it. They suffered non-life-threatening injuries. One was shot in the head and the other one in the leg. Which, that's...
That sounds pretty threatening.
The really strange part of the story, getting shot in the head with non-life-threatening injuries.
Does that mean it just grazed the scalp?
That's the only thing I can think of, as long as I guess it didn't penetrate the skull. Of course, you don't even really have to penetrate the skull. With hydrostatic shock, you could kill somebody, even if you grazed them hard enough, and it glances off the skull. So yeah, this is being dropped off at a gas station.
Just some jackass randomly firing?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Who appeared to be targeting a Nissan Cube. It's one of Giorgio's favorite vehicles.
I'm not even sure what that looks like.
Looks like a cube.
Yeah, I know, but I can't picture it.
It's kind of like a Dr. Seuss vehicle.
All right.
I'm not even sure if they still make them. Okay, and I can't remember your stance on this particular former Disney artist, but sad news out of the Demi Lovato world. She was taken to the hospital after a drug overdose.
Oh, no.
She had to receive a save shot of Narcan.
She got the save shot?
Yep.
That's great.
She was rushed to a Los Angeles area hospital yesterday afternoon after experiencing what authorities said was a drug overdose. And the substance that has been reported is heroin.
Oh, no.
Hey, Gordo.
Yeah.
What's it sound like when someone gets a save shot?
Why would I know that? I have no idea.
You reenact it all the time.
Reenact it? I don't know what it sounds like. I just imagine that their breathing slows down to a crawl because of the heroin coursing through their veins until their breathing stops.
Yeah.
Gosh, Jer completely missed on the shot. But... I'm laughing at that.
And P1s know by now that we keep a save shot with us in studio.
Yes, we do.
And we brought it with us to Oxnard just in case one of us needs it.
This is really, of course, Demi Lovato has been fairly public about her struggles with substance abuse. And she even had a song recently that she released called Sober, which was about her falling off the wagon. But her face, her aunt, I'm sorry, wrote on Facebook. Her face wrote on aunt book. Please pray for my sweet niece, Demi Lovato. She's been hospitalized and needs everyone's prayers desperately. Please pray she pulls through.
All right, let's say a quick prayer for Demi. Ready? Domo erigato, Demi Lovato.
Damn it, man.
Man.
What?
That's not a heartfelt prayer.
25 years of age.
That's from here. Not how it works.
Yes.
That's not how any of this works.
Got her start
works.
On Barney, did
Barney.
She?
Barney. Mm-hmm.
She's based here and best here.
I'm not sure if she's still based here, but...
That's
how
sad.
How creepy is this? Her friend kept a save shot in her purse.
Seriously?
Because she was so concerned with Demi's usage.
Wow.
And that's what saved her.
That is a...
Wow.
It's a good friend.
The friend administered it?
I'm assuming so, yes.
Wow.
Oh, okay. I was thinking she got it at the hospital, but her friend had it.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Man.
That her friend had recently become so concerned with her usage that she said, you know, I better start carrying a Narcan shot, a save shot with me, because she's going to need it. And it reminds me of those Prince photos that George showed me the other day.
I didn't show you.
Who'd you show?
Yeah, I didn't show anybody.
He was showing someone else, and I accidentally oversaw
him. You've been trying to force them on me, emailing them to me.
I've been trying to force the Prince photos.
Do you think
on
this
me.
Receiver was out of bounds? Take a look.
And you open it, and it's Prince in the elevator?
Laying down in front of the elevator.
Yeah. What do you think of this mascot?
Oops, sorry, wrong attachment.
Oh, sorry, wrong attachment. Hey, man, sorry.
God, man, people make mistakes, George. Come on. Hey, I need your ruling on this sports call.
All of yours are death photos, though. You make that same mistake every time.
No.
You show me Chris Farley.
That happened once, like 28 years
Prince.
Ago. Prince. I've never shown you Prince.
I think JFK's autopsy photo was sent to me.
That is not true.
I think it was.
I'm being so besmirched right now. Unfairly and unjustly besmirched. anyway, Demi Lovato still alive. She did pull through. Now, she was scheduled to perform tomorrow night. They've announced that they're not going to hold that concert.
We've heard that that has happened before.
That's right.
What?
Dead
do
a gig in 3 days.
What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about Jesus. Yes.
Well,
indeed.
No, not him.
Oh, I'm sorry, you got someone more important than Jesus on that story.
Important.
I would say he's the number one on the dead to a gig in 3 days.
I would agree with that.
But you got someone else in mind.
I
Go
would
ahead.
Agree with that. That was Pantera's lead singer, wasn't it?
Jesus was not Pantera's lead singer. No.
He could have been if he had wanted to.
Yes, he could have. He was offered the job first, just as he's offered every musical gig first.
I'll tell you what. I'm just going to do the show with Craig for the next 9 days.
No, why don't you do the show with integrity?
I try to every day.
Anyway, go ahead. Your Pantera story is what?
Same thing. That he had the safe shot, and it was in Dallas and did the show
Hold
in San Antonio
on.
3 days later.
Jesus didn't get a save shot, did he?
He saved, but he didn't
Leave him out of this.
Receive a save shot. Although, do we really know? I mean, like, is there a hypodermic hole in the Shroud of Turin?
We don't know.
He certainly did not take any substances.
Like, anyone can
even
know.
I have no idea how he was raised. Like, what exactly happened in the tomb? What do you think that was like?
The moment it happened?
Yeah, when Jesus came back to life.
Kick ass. Big rock rolls back. He comes out flying up to heaven. It was pretty kick ass.
You guys need to stop.
He hung around for a little while. He didn't immediately fly to heaven.
You guys need to stop while you're way behind.
Gosh. No, I'm asking you seriously, Giorgio. You study the resurrection a lot.
Just
what happened inside the tomb?
I don't know.
How did he come back to life? Did he come back?
I doubt it was a safe shot,
Gordon,
or did that's
he come
what you
back,
want me to say. I doubt it was a safe
like
shot.
Like the thing that I did. Big sharp intake of breath and his eyes fly wide.
I don't envision it like that, no.
Okay, how do you envision it?
Kind of like what Junior said.
What?
Pretty kick ass.
He jumps up and flies to heaven wearing a jersey.
And an American
says
flag.
Says number one, Jesus on the back.
Yeah.
With an Evel Knievel cape. I think you guys got it oversimplified. Anyway, Demi Lovato.
Yes, that's hold a good thought for her.
Our best to her and her family.
Yes, certainly in her prayers. She was on Barney and Friends. She was on Disney's Camp Rock films. And then she became a singer. And she's from here, and so is Selena Gomez. Is that right?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
Demi Lovato's from Grapevine.
That's Grapevine. A funny drop.
Grapevine. So who else is from here that's famous like that? Seems like we have an awful lot of
people.
Awful lot of child stars from here. Are
Ricky Schroeder. Ricky Schroeder.
No, Ricky Schroeder is from Massachusetts or somewhere.
Spanky from our gang.
Yep.
Yeah, he was from here.
Child actor.
I waited tables on him once at Thorntree Country Club. That's a true story.
It's not that great a story.
No, it's not.
But it's true. So we wish Spanky McFarlane in his future endeavors. She was also a judge on The X Factor. That was one of your big shows, Giorgio, back in 2014.
I never watched it. Never watched that show.
It was about people who would go up there and take X and they'd film what happened to them.
No, I don't think so.
An audit, a big report they did on California DMV workers, found that one of the workers had slept at her desk 3 or more hours a day since February of 2014. Ended up totaling 2,200 hours of work time that she was sleeping on her desk. $40,000 that she took from the company by sleeping. I didn't know that was frowned upon. I've been doing that for how long now?
25 years.
Okay. That had to be the most beaten part of my career, right?
When you slept at the ticket?
When I was working a double, I'd work mornings and then work sometimes in the afternoon. And I would just stay up there and sleep up under my desk between the shifts.
That's pretty beaten.
With that real gross pillow that Norm later stole and used as a butt muffler.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. The most beaten part of your career is like a 100-way tie for first.
You are a jerk. I still can't believe I slept on the floor.
That's your own fault.
How do you sleep on a concrete floor? And yet I did it every single day. With my long hair and everything, and wake up, you know, wake me up, smoke going down there in the parking garage.
We haven't bathed in a week.
No, dude, that's a made-up detail. You're adding. Stop adding. Okay, in New Hampshire, I don't know why, I guess this guy was from Massachusetts originally, but he goes to this New Hampshire Planet Fitness. 34-year-old Eric Stagno, and he is walking around naked at that gym before he settled in on the yoga mats and starts doing yoga naked.
Gross.
So cops are called, and they find him nude on his knees in a yoga-type pose. Maybe a little downward dog. I don't know what he's doing. I guess downward dog's not on your knees, is it?
No, that's on your... the balls of your feet and your hands with your butt pointed
to the sky.
Your balls,
your feet, and your hands all touching the ground at the same time?
The balls of your feet.
Oh. All
right, balls to the mat.
He was arrested.
Jim.
And charged with indecent exposure, and the only statement he made was that he thought he was in a judgment-free zone.
Yeah, what's the deal?
Okay.
Because
everybody's so uptight.
I guess that's their slogan, judgment-free zone, and he felt like the cops were judging him. I think he's got a great defense here.
Yeah.
Why are they judging him nude when it's a judgment-free zone? And he's all long-haired and bearded. He looks like Manson.
Yeah.
Circa 69.
Gordo.
Like you,
Gordo circa now.
A.K.A. his prime.
He really believes that.
What? Mm-hmm.
He believes that.
I didn't say I believed it. Yeah. I just acted like
it's cathartic for him to get it on the record.
He's not really dead.
Whoa.
And did you see the story out of Georgia about that waitress that took down the dude that grabbed her rear end?
No.
I've seen footage of this. Footage, yeah.
Okay, so the surveillance footage is out there. You can see it. It happened at a Savannah, Georgia pizzeria. And this young lady is standing up at the bar. Looks like she's doing some sort of side work or getting drinks or something. And this dude walks by her, you know, behind her. He's walking. She's looking at the bar off to his left, and he's just walking by towards the front of the place. And he just reaches out and grabs her rear end and pinches it as he walks by, never breaking stride. Well, she whips around, turns towards him, wraps her arm around his neck as he's walking, and slings him down into a chair by the bar as he falls really hard and slouched there. And she yells for her coworkers to call the cops. And he's laying there, sunglasses askew and everything. His world went from he was feeling on top of the world and entitled to grab anyone's ass to... I'm so sorry. And cops were called. They looked at the surveillance video, charged him with sexual assault right there in Vinnie Van Gogh's Pizzeria.
Good.
In Savannah, Georgia. And this young woman, all of 115 pounds, she was not that big, but she found superhuman strength to throw this big dude down after he did this.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
And you watch that video and you go, what made you think? What made this guy think?
God, I'm watching
that. That
it
was
now.
Just going to be okay.
That's incredible. Good for her.
You think he had a few in him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard that he was there at the restaurant having lunch with his baby mama, who I think's had a couple kids by him. They're not together, but they were having lunch. And he gets a few drinks in him and then decides to grab this waitress's ace.
Wow.
So he goes from feeling top of the world to being charged with sexual assault about 90 seconds later. Merry
world
Christmas,
changed
dude.
Around a little bit. Grab
Merry Christmas.
Birthdays?
Birthdays today on sports. Demi Lovato would have been 26 today.
Is it really her birthday?
If this was her birthday, but it's not. Hmm. Supermodel Iman is 63. Isn't that an internet mother? Okay, that was Norm's one good joke.
You overrate that.
Career.
You do
no,
overrate
I don't.
That joke.
When they said e-mom, and he said, oh, she's not an internet mother. That was pretty good for Norm, because he had heard of the internet, so it was fairly hip. Matt LeBlanc, 51, never been funny.
No.
The weakest one on the Friends cast.
Neither was that show.
He was a lot weaker than Ross.
I don't know.
I don't understand why you don't
no,
like Ross.
No,
he
had a weaker voice than Ross.
Talk like this. Naturally, if I work in that building, then Rachel's for sure.
Pedro Martinez is 47.
Hey, man.
You're up to date.
All right, thanks. That's Muse, 7:31 on the ticket. We are in Oxnard. It's morning one for the Musers covering Cowboys training camp. And we've got a couple of Cowboys. We're going to have, we hope, a Cowboy player or coach every day. And we kick off training camp coverage with two of our favorite Cowboys. Guys, if you don't mind giving up your headsets.
Well, now,
to,
wait. I want to talk
about
these guys,
I may ask at least
too.
One question.
Yeah, come on.
Well, we only have three headsets, so we need the two to go to the Skinlonen brothers.
Oh, these guys
they're
again?
Here back at Cowboys training camp. Let's say good morning to longtime NFL offensive lineman.
Does mean 1, 2, 3.
I can hear you. Stop. You're hurting my ears.
Are you loud?
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for having us on.
Doing great. Rick, how are you?
Hi, Craig.
Always good to see you guys.
Great to be on.
Yeah, good to be here.
Now,
good to be with you.
It's odd to see you here today, and you're wearing workout clothing because, as we all know, you retired from a long NFL career, two careers, many years ago.
Well, let's just say our television careers were not doing very well.
I mean, we really, really flamed out in a big way. Our royal wedding coverage show.
Uh-huh.
Remember that? We told you about that right before the royal wedding that we were doing coverage on the NFL Network.
It was the lowest rated show in NFL Network history.
Oh, no.
It was so bad. Well, it did so poorly.
It was a weird match, a royal wedding show on the NFL Network.
We prepped our asses off, too. I really thought we had a home run on our hands.
I thought we did a good job, too. American football perspective of the royal wedding.
I mean, come on. Megan was American.
Right. And it was so bad that they did not have, like, a producer or, like a president of programming fire us. They made us go to NFL headquarters, and Roger Goodell himself fired us.
He said that normally he wouldn't mess with such small fry stuff, but that when he found out it was us, he wanted to do the pleasure. He wanted to experience the pleasure of firing us.
So he saw the show and did not like it.
No, he was so mean about it.
Yeah, he said we were the biggest disappointments in the Shield history.
Wow. I'm surprised he treats former players that way.
Well, he didn't care about players.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't at all.
So,
and this proves it.
This proves it.
Right.
We have a plan now.
Well, but you guys have the fallback business that you also told us about.
No, we don't have that either.
I'm afraid I have bad news on that front, Greg.
What happened? It was store, right?
Yeah. my store at the mall.
It's hard for him to talk about. That's
very
why you're a little
very, very emotional. My store at the mall, the candle store, Rick's Wicks and Sticks.
Yes.
And then, of course, later, Nick bought in.
Right.
And it was Rick and Nick's Wicks and Sticks.
Yes.
It failed. It went belly up. No one bought our candles.
And it took all of our investment with it because we invested everything we had.
Everything. You look at my 401k, it says $0. I borrowed against the whole thing. We have no more NFL pension. We've emptied that.
Oh, that's so terrible. Again, it was a really odd match, NFL players opening a candle store.
Well,
but
I mean, we wouldn't normally do it, but I mean, what else is going to rhyme with Rick and Nick? We had to do something.
Good point.
And Wicks and Stick did.
Well, you have no store, no NFL Network show.
Nothing.
I feel bad for
that's
you guys.
Well, workout gear.
Don't feel bad for us because we've got a plan.
We are returning to the NFL.
You are.
Yep.
Maybe. We're here because we're going to, you know, the Cowboys, like every NFL team, a lot of people don't know this, but every team starts off their training camps with a 5-minute open tryout portion.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
5 minutes. You got 5 minutes to show them something really good.
Yeah.
And they may keep you.
You really have to have your guts in a row.
That's how we originally made the Cowboys all those years back.
Really?
It was that five-minute tryout.
It's a little tough because I'm 47. And, and Nick, of course, turns 50 in the spring.
And you both had such long NFL careers, but your financial situation is forcing you back to, I guess, what you know best.
Yeah, you would think that we could somehow leverage. We got 12 rings each.
Yes.
Right.
And we were always on Super Bowl winning teams.
Right.
And did you know that there hasn't been an NFL Super Bowl winner without a Skin Lonin on its roster in 25 years?
Yeah, we go way back.
You had a very little known record.
Yeah, you had a way of finding your way onto good teams.
It always happened.
I don't hear you saying it's time for Tom Brady to retire. Why should we?
Why should we? We're still performing at a very high level in our backyard.
I mean, he plays every down. We barely play. Why couldn't we play at such an advanced age?
That's right. We don't have near the wear and tear that Tom Brady has.
Now, conditioning, that's shaky.
Okay.
Well, Nick's put on a few.
Uh-huh.
And by a few, I mean 148 pounds.
But he's an offensive lineman, so maybe that'll work.
Right.
Well,
now, Rick, you're more of a specialist in skill position.
Yes, and, you know, I'm a punter, and I've put on over 2.25 pounds.
Oh, wow. That's
over
a lot
that,
to you.
Over that.
Okay.
He's still really skinny, though.
Yeah. I'm almost hitting triple digits now.
Yeah.
Thank you for recognizing me as an offensive lineman, because that's what I'm going to try out at.
Good.
Not deep snapping.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, that's a change for you.
I think I can play offensive line because I saw Jazz Green play last year. I can do that.
Right.
So I think I have a really good chance to be the backup left tackle. If that's all it takes, I think I can do that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sad to hear that your NFL Network show was canceled, but I got to say I'm not surprised because I didn't think you guys would go into broadcasting with your voices being the way they are.
What do you mean?
You have unique voices.
I think
sometimes he sounds like a gorilla, but outside of that,
pretty normal. Well, what do you mean sound like a gorilla?
You know what? Never mind. I take it back.
Okay.
Don't worry.
That was a weird moment. Did you notice that, Nick? That was weird. That Greg was saying that.
What about your voice?
I'm like, what is he playing radio right now? What is he doing?
What's going on?
It's like controversial.
Rick, you were telling me off air that you had some exciting news for me?
Yeah, guess what I ordered last week, Craig?
What?
A pizza!
Well, it's not that exciting. I don't know what he's doing there.
Yeah, why are you so fired up about that? Anybody can order a pizza.
Yeah, but it's cool. Pizza's so cool.
It's not cool.
All right.
Best of luck to you guys. I hope you make the most of your five-minute tryout
today. We're going to try.
We better hurry.
We better get going.
You can't be late because you'll miss it.
We'll report on all the tickers how you guys did in the 5 minute open tryout.
We'd appreciate that.
All right,
there they go.
Bye.
Rick Skinlonen and Nick Skinlonen, the Skinlonen brothers, trying to get back in the NFL.
And I wanted to get a question in.
I don't know if you guys heard the interview, but they're
I couldn't hear it.
Like they're broke. They're totally broke, and they're trying to get back into football. Yeah.
Well.
All right, it's 8:48 on the ticket.
Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Lunazul Tequila and Baker Brothers Plumbing and Air.
Thank you so much, Junior. Well, it's a story that was sent to me by P1s probably about 20 times over, at least.
So that'll be good.
Even Junior Miller fill-in Jake Kemp sent me this story. And it was a story that comes to us out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, about three-year-old twins, Zyler and Caden Sharp. The story begins, three-year-old twins, Zyler and Caden Sharp, scurry around the boys' and girls' clothing racks of a narrow consignment store filled with toys. Zyler, wearing rainbow leggings, scrutinized a pair of hot pink and purple sneakers. Caden, in a T-Rex t-shirt, fixated on a musical cube that flashed colorful lights. At a glance, the only discernible difference between these two fraternal twins is their hair color. Zyler's is brown, Caden's is blonde. Is Zyler a boy or a girl? How about Caden? That's a question their parents, Nate and Julia, say only the twins can decide.
Oh, my God.
Why are you moaning over there? I haven't even gotten too far into the story. The Cambridge, Massachusetts couple represent a small group of parents raising...
Very small.
Well, their Facebook group has 220 members. It's pretty good. Anyway, a group of parents that are raising babies.
Babies.
Yes.
Let's let them decide as to
babies.
What gender they are.
Children being brought up without gender designation from birth.
Hmm.
This is progress, though, you have to admit.
So, neutral names.
Right.
Neutral clothing.
Neutral clothing.
Neutral treatment.
Neutral treatment. Nothing wrong with that.
That all sounds there fair. Is. I think you're causing confusion in this case. Some kids are born, and yes, they're not sure, and they go through...
A lot of kids are born.
Some kids are born, and they go through a life that, they are confused as to what they are. I think that exists. And it may take them 18 years or 14 years or 20 years to come forward and finally come to grips with it. But in this case, I think you're causing confusion.
According to Father Nate, a baby is... That means raising our kids with gender-neutral pronouns, so they, them, their, rather than assigning he, she, him, her from birth based on something that he says is anatomy, something referred to as anatomy. The gender-open style of parenting is even controversial in some circles. They acknowledge that. The parents do not reveal the sex of their children to anyone. Even the children who are aware of their own body parts and how they may differ from others, let me finish, are not taught to associate those body parts with being a boy or girl. Those body parts have nothing to do with being a boy or girl. And the children are being taught that important lesson early on, rather than having to unlearn all that programming that we do, and they have to unlearn it and then learn that being a boy or girl is a choice that a person can make later on.
Yeah, great idea.
If no one knows a child's sex, the parents theorize, the kid cannot be pigeonholed into gender stereotypes. Because gender stereotypes, of course, are harmful and constricting. This type of parenting received widespread attention in 2011 when a Toronto couple announced that they were raising their child, Storm, without gender designation. And these progressive parents see their child's gender as fluid rather than binary. They took notice and this started a whole movement.
Hey, what happened to Storm? What did they
choose?
That's
none of our business.
What did they choose?
They has not said what they are publicly. Because I do not have that in this story. So Storm is still young.
He's in therapy right now,
gendering Storm.
They are in therapy right now trying to figure out what the hell they are.
They is possibly in therapy, but they is also maybe not.
I think your sarcastic broadcasting has actually blindly stumbled into a good question.
Who?
You're talking to George, right?
No, I'm talking to you, Gordon.
I'm not being sarcastic.
Here's
really
the question.
Am not. This is an interesting idea to me.
Well, and I think it is too. And here's the question that I have. For a parent, how much do you let the child figure out on their own, and how much do you program into the child? I think this comes up a lot with religion. Do you raise the child in your religion? With your religious ideas, or do you let a child decide? Do you let a child decide what they want to do in life? Do you let children
decide?
How much
freedom versus how much structure do you provide a child?
Yeah.
What's the balance?
And I think this story falls under that question.
This story
To a very extreme, yes, of what gender they are. This is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Now, if you start seeing the signs and they start asking you questions as they're growing up when they're three and, hey, you know, I feel a certain way and maybe you have some questions, that's one thing. But just to throw it as this open canvas as to you're a boy or girl is one of the biggest dumbass things I've ever heard of in my life.
Dude.
And it has nothing to do with...
But don't you think it is...
No.
It's harmful to kids. Well, you haven't even let me ask a question.
Because whatever it is, it's some liberal question that I don't even want to hear.
Don't prejudge me here. Okay, no, don't you think that it is somewhat harmful to teach kids to associate penis or vagina with being a boy or girl?
No.
Those things do not, there's no correlation.
No, I don't. Because 99.9% of the time it applies. And when it doesn't, then yes, that person, you know, they're going through something very difficult. That does exist.
If we can make it less difficult for the person to go through it if we didn't program
so everybody
them,
should
that
do what this couple is doing.
Having a penis means that you're a boy.
So everybody should do what this couple is doing when it applies to 2%, less than 1% of the population.
If
I don't
that
think
makes
so.
One person feel more comfortable, then yes, don't you think it's worth
no,
it?
No, I don't.
Jeez. A Brooklyn couple runs a blog featuring their 2-year-old Zoomer, offering advice on how to navigate
how about all
the
these
world
names?
While
Canvas,
raising
Lamppost, Zoomer.
Okay, I did not mention a child named Canvas
let's come up
or
with,
Lamppost.
Let's come up with something that it wouldn't be chimney,
no,
fence post.
Zoomer. No.
Little can.
Why are you naming objects in the world? This is Zoomer.
I kind of like the name fence post.
Anyway, they offer out a blog offering advice on how to raise a baby. Lise Elliott says, once your child meets the outer world, which may be daycare or preschool or grandparents, it's pretty much impossible to maintain a gender-free state. She wrote a book called Pink Brain, Blue Brain that breaks this down. Don't roll your. Why'd you roll your eyes at me?
Because I'm just exhausted, that's why.
So where do you guys draw the line?
Of influence? I think as a parent, you try to do the best you can, and yeah, you probably do fall into your own bias of what church you take them to and what food you eat and
what gender you tell them they are.
Yeah, why
do you
do that?
I think that one is a pretty easy one for 99% of the population. But when it isn't, then yes, you have to be very sensitive to it and try to help them through that and find out exactly who they are.
But we don't know how many people are actually affected by this because we program so many of them that we
it's
that
not
they never
of,
come out as transgender because they don't feel comfortable.
It's
you have not,
not be,
made a welcoming.
It's not because of how society is programming them.
How do you
it's
know
because
that?
How they're programmed.
Because
by eventually,
society.
No matter what the programming is from society, as we see now, it all comes out in the wash. Well, no, I don't identify as a male. I identify as a woman. Okay, great. You're a woman.
You know what? In all seriousness, I could see this becoming the norm.
Yes.
I probably will.
I really could because, like George says, if his stats are correct, it's not an issue for 99% of the newborns or the kids. Well, that means it's not an issue. So if everybody started neutral, then after 6 months or a year or 2 years, 99% of the kids are going to find their way into whatever.
But
or in this case, you could argue 100% of them will find their way into whatever.
I think when you introduce this ambiguous, we don't know what we are. It's just you got to make your choice and figure it out for yourself. I think you're gonna.
But they'll all figure
to
it
that
out.
Number.
Won't they all figure it out?
I don't know. I think you're going to cause a lot of confusion for these kids. Why don't mom just say I'm a boy? I think I'm a boy. I'm playing with all these other.
No, you don't know that you're a boy yet. So don't be saying that yet. Or maybe
I just learned how to read.
Maybe the idea in parenting is that you just affirm whatever choice they make instead of rather telling them they haven't made the choice
yet. I give up. Fine, let's do that. Let's do it. That's good.
What?
No, this is, you're right. Let's do it.
When the Sharps arrived at the hospital for delivery, they asked the staff not to announce the twins' sex. Even after the newborns were put in their arms, their anatomy remained a mystery for several hours. The parents respected the privacy of the infant to not even know
Privacy of the infant. Listen how you're talking. You can't even talk about this.
I'm talking about it fine. I'm saying that they did not even look at it.
All your coffee sipping friends. You can't even explain
what
it
does it
to
have
them.
To do with coffee? Why are you always bringing up coffee?
He's playing the role of wind up George, and George is playing the role of wound up George.
Said that they've gotten
good,
so much pushback.
Everybody's happy.
So they definitely get a lot of pushback from coworkers. Like, wait, you're not going to tell me what you're having? You're not going to tell me what your kids are? And Julia Sharp says, I'm telling you, they're children. But the coworkers got really frustrated that the Sharps would not tell them what their genitalia was.
What do they do for
Why do they have to tell strangers what their kids' genitalia is?
What do they do for a gender reveal that is like blow bubbles and see, that's what this... It's just a free bubble floating through the air and they're going to decide.
Sounds fine to me.
Yeah, great.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I think we should let kids choose 100% of everything in their life.
Gender and energy.
Everything.
When boys and girls are born, their brains are virtually indistinguishable. While boys have slightly bigger brains on average, they also have bigger bodies. Studies suggest there are some minor observable differences in behavior early on. For instance, baby girls seem slightly better at regulating their impulses and attention than boys. And it goes on to cite a few more things. But when they're born, their brains are virtually indistinguishable.
There's also the vagina-penis thing that goes along
with it.
Despite
boys having a slightly bigger brain and girls having and boys having bigger bodies.
Whatever, man. Let's just live in
this paragraph is weird because it says there's no difference except for all these differences we list. That's a little weird. But the point of the piece is interesting, is that we should not be defining the world for children who are constantly looking at us to define the world for them. We need to teach them independence on this stuff.
On everything?
Not
maybe.
Gender.
Maybe.
No.
I mean, kids are trying to sort out the world.
Well,
you know
what?
Have to work around
yes,
that.
Yes, they are. So let's make it even more confusing
they look
for them.
Names.
I don't know what you
they
are.
They look to parents to name things for them because that's how they learn the world. This is
yeah,
a bear.
Everything's
this
ambiguous.
This is a lion. This is a person. This is this.
Well, that would apply to laws, too. Let them make up their own laws, too.
Well,
and
no
what's legal and what's illegal.
Make up their own
no,
laws.
It's a free-for-all. What gender you are, what you can do to another person, who cares? It's all you make your own choice. You're a 3-year-old. Make your own choice.
The article does acknowledge that there's a low chance that any particular baby will be transgender because only 0.6% of U.S. adults identify as transgender.
Yeah, so at that point, it's a non-issue, right? If you did this to every baby, then after a couple of years, they'd just be what they are.
Right. And if a lot of the penis havers, choose to be boys, then we probably need to do a little bit more education and do something to erase this the impact that culture just keeps programming into people.
Yeah, so we need to encourage the penis havers who want to be boys to really think it through.
Well, just so they don't have to automatically be boys because they have a penis.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. And that's not that offensive, is it? To you? But just not automatic.
It's hard enough growing up. It's hard enough being a kid and then going through your adolescence and then trying to become an adult without throwing this ambiguous, hey, just decide what you are. Because I'm not going to help you. I'm not even going to say she or he.
But isn't it
you
time
or
we
they?
De-emphasize gender? And we stop with all this... all these harmful gender stereotypes. All
it's
this
not harmful. Everybody shut
we
up.
We don't have to have women's studies anymore and all that mess. We can just have people studies.
No. There are differences between the sexes, believe it or not.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think studies have proven what you're saying.
Mm.
By any means.
Those kids will be in therapy within 13 years.
Now, this incident I feel is made up. This family nurse practitioner named Nathan Levitt, 40-year-old Brooklyn resident, he does not disclose the sex of his 18-month-old named Zoe, Z-O. He remembers an incident when he was on an airplane with his husband, who is also a nurse, and Zoe was bundled in a pink sweater at the time. "Oh, you're so lucky to have a girl," a fellow passenger said. girls are so pretty and fragile, and she's going to grow up and get so many boyfriends, the stranger said, according to Nathan.
How offensive.
Not wanting to get into a potential argument, the couple didn't bother to correct her, but later, after they had removed Zoe's sweatshirt, the same woman became upset when she saw the baby wearing blue. You didn't tell me you had a boy, Levitt recalled her saying. I said we didn't actually tell you any gender that our child is. Our child is going to tell us how they identify. End quote. The woman became angry and accused the couple of setting Zoe up for a difficult life.
She's right.
Can you believe this woman said to them, oh, you're so lucky to have a girl because girls are so pretty and fragile and she's going to grow up and get so many boyfriends? That sounds like natural language that a stranger uses to someone. I wish they hadn't included that anecdote because I think Nathan sounds like he's... how did that woman deliver the perfect villain dialogue that they needed for the story?
Yeah, that sounds made up.
Yes, that's a little made up. But I did not know that there has been the advent of thabies.
I've never heard that term.
Thabies.
Thabies.
And perhaps we should start using that for all infants.
We welcome all thabies to Ticket Stock 2019.
There won't be a one.
A ticket stock? Yeah, oh, it'll happen.
Oh, there will be.
It's our 25th anniversary.
I guarantee you, P1s are going to start coming up, and they're going to have their kids in a baby-spilled shirt, and
just to wind
they'll
me
insist
up.
That Giorgio respect that baby's choice.
All right, Gordo, thank you. That's the corner. It's 9:32 on the ticket. Coming up next, it's our first